Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. So it's Parshas Balos and Chutzarts, which I'm going to tie into the theme of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah that we're going to be studying. So tonight we thank our sponsor, who is our Shir founder and our dear friend and Shir initiator, who has devoted a tremendous amount of time to ensuring that the Shir will continue Be'ezrat Hashem. We thank Miriam Goodman very, very much for her sponsorship tonight. This is what Miriam wrote to me. I'm writing a few words about my mother. It has been 21 years. Today's the yahrzeit of my dear mother, Matul Bas Yehoshua Alaha Hashalom. My mother is one of seven children. Three survived. The rest perished in the Holocaust by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. My mother was born in Hungary, Pupa, an illustrious and flourishing city in Hungary. If I were to tell you about the attributes of my dear mother, we would be here all night. A couple of things stick out in my mind. She was an unbelievable wife, mother, and friend, and all who knew her knew she had unbelievable ohev esabrios and respect for both young and old. She was a balas chasad. She was a balas tzedakah. She was always happy with her lot, a samech b'chalka. It's just so interesting how many of these midos Miriam chose to describe really stand out as different traits. She had a havas abrios, she was both a balas chasad and balas tzedakah. She was always happy with her lot, with a sefer panim yafos. And she herself personally was a Sameach B'chalko, despite being a survivor, Rachmana Litzlan, losing so much of her family in the terrible Shoah. So we hope that in the schus of our Torah this learning, the Torah learning this evening, the neshama of Matul Bas Yehoshua Alashem, the dear mother of our dear friend Miriam Goodman, will merit a zuchus aliyah neshama. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. We're going to start on the parsha, and then we are going to go in depth into exploring a particular mishnah with commentary on a handout that I prepared. So I am going to the screen share. Here we go. Okay, yeah, could you see it says Numbers, but Midbar chapter 12. Okay, so this is in Parshas Baloscha. So it's right at the end of Parshas Baloscha. We have Perachas, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph. A lot happens in all of those prakim. And the Parsha ends in chapter 12 of Bamidbar Perak Yud Beis with a narrative about the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke to Aaron about her brother Moshe. The focus of tonight's shir is not going to be on the Lashon Hara or Miriam's tzara'as or the daily zechira of remembering what happened to Miriam. The focus is going to be on Moshe's reaction to what was done to him. He was insulted, if you will, whatever, whether they spoke about his wife, he divorced his wife, she was a Cushish. What was his reaction? A normal person, and not Moshe Rabbeinu, generally, if you find out that people are speaking negative about you, defaming you, questioning your personal circumstances, our reaction would be, what right do you have to talk about me? Why are you insulting me? What do you know about my life? What gives you the right to judge? And we take affront. We feel bad. We feel that our kavod has been damaged. To the bear mirror of Aaron b'Moshe, al odos ha'isha kushis asher lakach ki isha kushis lakach, as relates this to Perikid Alf, Eldad and Medad started have nevuah, and Sipor said, oh, woe unto their wives, they're going to have nevuah like my husband had nevuah, they're going to separate from their wives. Lamaisa, Miriam and Aaron, Miriam spoke to Aaron, she initiated the Lashon Hara about Moshe, over the news of the Cushish wife that he took a Cushish wife. Rashi says, just like everybody understands that a Cushish is so Cushish, so too everyone understands that Miriam was so beautiful. What do they say? Harak, ach, but Moshe, Dibra Hashem, what does Moshe think? He's such a Baal Gaifa. Hello, Gambanu Diber. We also have spoken to God. Miriam is Miriam Hanaviyah. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Hashem spoke to him in Parsha Shemini. He gave him the halachas of Shesusei Yayin to himself. So what do they think? We're also great. Why? Who does Moshe think he is? Why should he separate from his wife? Just because God spoke to him, God speaks to us too. Vayishma Hashem. And Hashem overhears what's going on here. Now, this is a normal person. Then you start to take an affront. Your covenant has been injured. You stand up for yourself. You have a sense of healthy gaiva, we might call it. And this is going to be the springboard for Akase. And the man Moshe was more humble than any person upon the face of the earth. And Hashem comes suddenly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and he says, come out, the three of you, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them go out, and God descends or reveals himself in a pillar of cloud at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and he calls Aaron and Miriam. They go out, and he says, listen to my words. There is no prophet like Moshe. Other prophets see God in a vision. They see him in some sort of dream. Not so my servant Moshe. In my entire house, he is the most trustworthy. Mouth to mouth, I speak to him. It is a clear vision. It is not in riddles. He mamish sees, whatever that means, Hashem Yabi. He sees a picture, an image of God. And how could you not have been afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? Hashem is angry and he goes, and the cloud lifts up, and behold, Miriam has tzaraas, and Aaron looks at his sister and she has tzaraas, and Aaron's a Kohen Gadol, but he's no gay bedaver, pun intended, get it? She has nega tzaraas, he's no gay bedaver, he can't treat her. They don't know what they're going to do, and a mitzvah is nechshav kames, and there's no one to heal her because he can't heal her, and now she's going to be like a mace for the rest of her life. So he asks Moshe, we have to rely on a horasha, you got a daven for her. What can Moshe say? What do you mean I should daven for her? You were talking about me, Lashana. You're coming to me to help you? After you defamed me, after you ruined my reputation, after you said negative about me, after you were suspicious of me, you said negative, I should daven for you? Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem, the most anav me'ora kol p'nei adama. Moshe cries out to Hashem in prayer. He says a very short prayer, 5 words, kel na refa na la. Please God, heal her. God says she has to be out of the camp for 7 days and then she will be healed and the people wait for her. So what we see here is Moses' reaction to what was done to him. First of all, the Torah narrates and tells us in the aftermath of the Lashon Hara, and the man Moses was more humble more than any other person upon the face of the earth. And furthermore, in the aftermath of the sin, when Aaron says to Moshe, listen, I can't do anything to heal her, so it depends on you. Moshe doesn't say, well, you brought this upon yourself, I'm not getting involved. Moshe cries out to Hashem in prayer, and he says, please God, heal her now. So we have this idea of tremendous anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now I'm going to go to screen share. Oh, I see my mother-in-law. Hi, Ima, sorry, I just started the shir and I forgot to say, oh, wow. We look forward to having you for Shabbos, Meretz Hashem. By the way, Tamara knows, it's not a secret anymore. Because, oh, you know, okay, fine. She says she's going to Brooklyn to see Bobby and Zaidi, so we had to tell you, you don't have to go to Brooklyn. Okay, so, that's a sham. So I'm going to the handout that I prepared for you, okay? I have it, I just have to. One second, I have to find the handout, okay? Let me do this again. Okay, 1 second. I don't know. It's not you. It's a moment, please. Okay, I know why. I know why. I was looking for the wrong title. Let's try again. Okay, there we go. I was looking for the wrong title of my document. That's why I couldn't find it. Do you see that it says Bamidbar 12:3? I'm going to hand out here. Yeah, okay, very good. So what you have here is this pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu that we already saw in Baal Oschava. Ish Moshe anav me'od mikol adam asher al p'nei adam. And note that it has the word me'od, okay? And the man, it doesn't just say he's an anav. He's an anav me'od. And the man Moshe was exceedingly humble, very humble, more than any person upon the face of the earth. What we're going to do now, and that has been our introduction to Shir, what we're going to do now is go into the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and Perek Tal, which you see on my screen right here, Avos 4:4. Let us talk about this Mishnah in depth. Rabbi Levitos ish Yavne Omer, me'od me'od, there's that word, me'od me'od heve shafal ruach shetikvos enosh rima. Rabbi Levitos ish Yavne says, now first of all, who was this? I found that this to be very interesting. I don't know if you could see my footnote here because the footnote's always in small letters, but I'm going to read it to you. He was a Tana, okay, because we're in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was compiled by the Tanaim, third generation Tanaim. He lived approximately from 80 to 110 common century, common era. So like after the year zero. He lived from 80 to 110 common era. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed either 69 or 70. I learned on Shavuos, I never knew this, that there was a machlokas. That's why sometimes you hear 69 and sometimes you hear 70. Though, okay, but Lamaisa, so he was born in the aftermath of the destruction of the temple. He lived till approximately, okay, those were his years, okay. Rabbi Levitas, this is what I found to be very interesting, was a scholar from Yavne. And his name only appears this once in Shas, teaching us about humility in Pirkei Avos, Hence, very little is known about him. So I thought to myself, how ironic, what poetic justice. The man who teaches us about humility has almost no mention in Shas. Why not? Because he was saying, you could say he was so humble, he wanted to remove himself, so to speak, from having fame, from having a lasting impression, from having a name. It's amazing. So there's only this one time that he is mentioned, so we hardly know anything about him. But that's exactly what he would have wanted, because it is he who teaches you, you should be very, very humble. So someone who's very, very humble wants to stay out of the spotlight, wants to stay away from the limelight. He doesn't want fame. He doesn't want articles. He doesn't want things known about him to others. So how perfectly does he illustrate his unbelievable midah of humility by ensuring that his name, he doesn't have many teachings recording. In fact, he has almost no teachings recording except for one. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. I just thought that that was so interesting. Again, his time period was in the aftermath of Churban Bayis Sheni. So what does this Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna have to say? Me'od me'od. Vayish Moshe anav me'od, me'od me'od heve shafal ruach. You should be very, very exceedingly of low spirit, humble. Shatikvos enosh rima. Why do you have to be so proud of? Enosh means man. It's another word for man. So there's different ways. There's ish, there's gather, there's enosh. Adam, there's different ways of saying man in Lashon HaKodesh. Shatikvos enosh rima. Because the hope of man is worm. Meaning, where is every guf going? Someone said to me a few years ago, two different quotes. No one has a long-term lease on life, and no one gets off the planet alive. Everyone's going, ki afra ata vel afra tashuv, and at the end of the 120 years, when a person is buried in the ground, afra ata, you were created from dust, v'al afra tashuv, you will return to dust. You're going back to the place of rima v'solei, our worms and maggots. But that's not me, that's the Mishnah says that. Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna therefore says, when a person wants to feel a sense of gaiva, he should contemplate to himself, where is he going? At the end of the day, he's going to be buried in the ground. He could be the biggest billionaire. He could be the most famous. He could be the most prominent. His end is going to be the same as the poorest anonymous pauper in town, in terms of the fact that they will both ultimately be buried in the ground. And therefore this Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna, whose name only appears once, which I just thought in itself is an amazing lesson, because he's the man who teaches us about humility. You should be very, very exceedingly of low spirit, humble, because the hope of man is a worm. I saw it brought down in the Mishnah of Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau, Shlita. Ma'od is an acronym. It's interesting, it appears both in our parsha, Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od, and in the Mishnah, Ma'od Ma'od Havesh Fel Ruach, and in both cases you're talking about a Nivas. So both, by the case of Moshe, and in the case of the teaching of Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna, we have the appearance of the word Ma'od. So it teaches you shouldn't just be regular humble, you should be exceedingly humble. Ma'od, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Laushita brings down as an acronym. There are three biblical personalities, three Torah giants, three unbelievable leaders who were very, very humble. Mem stands for Moshe, Mem. Aleph of Ma'od stands for Avraham Avinu. And Dalet stands for King David. Each of these could have taken prominence, gedula, kavod for themselves. I mean, Moshe brought us the Torah. If there's anyone who should not be humble, you would think Moshe has a claim to fame. He could say, who does God speak to? He speaks to me. I'm the go-between between you and God. Look how wonderful I am, Moshe Rabbeinu could say. Avram Avinu, in the CLO, Kimata Besochenu, he rose to the highest heights of prominence. He was wealthy. He had cattle. Even the people of the land acknowledged that Avram Avinu was very, very, very great. He was very successful. He could have said, wow, look at me. And King David was the first king of Israel, and he conquered Yerushalayim, and he bought the threshing floor for the Beis HaMikdash. And he could have said, what a wonderful person I am. But what did they do? They understood that other kochos only come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. They were each me'od, me'od, hevei, shefal ruach. Also me'od, if you scramble the letters, is the word Adam. Okay, Mem Aleph Dalet is also the letters of the word Adam, which is Aleph Dalet Mem. You see that very, very clearly. So a person has to think back to Adam HaRishon. What is Adam HaRishon? What does God say to him? You are taken from dust, you are going to dust. And when a person feels haughty, they should remember Adam HaRishon. Even the first man didn't live forever. He was supposed to live forever, but that didn't go according to plan. Even he didn't live forever. So if Adam HaRishon in the Garden of Eden didn't live forever, Me'od Adam, so what should I be haughty about? I should remember that even Adam HaRishon went the way of going back to the dust, and so too will every person. Let us look at what the Bartanura has to say on this mission. The Bartanura says, Me'od, Me'od, me'od hevel shefal ruach. Should be very, very, should be exceedingly of low spirit. Af al pi shebishar midos hadarecha emtsois hiya mishubachas. Even though, and this, I think, even though the Bartonura doesn't quote him, is based on the Rambam. The Rambam very, very famously speaks about the Shevil HaZahav, which is the golden median. And for all other Mido, says the Bartonura, the middle path is the most praiseworthy. HaDerech HaEmtzait, Hi HaMishubachos, the most praiseworthy way to behave for all Midos is in the middle. You shouldn't be too radical with anything. That's why the Nazir, one of the reasons why he used to bring a Korban Chatos, last week's parasha in Chutzar, it's not so. Why is to bring a korban chatas? You don't shouldn't be so radical. The Torah wants you to drink arba kosos of wine on Leil Seder. The Torah wants you to make kiddush. The Torah wants you to bring the bikurim from the grapes. The Torah wants you to look kept and sure, not unkempt and unsure. And so one of the reasons he brings a korban chatas is because he was very radical in separating from certain physical ideals and pleasures and foods in this world. In general, a person should always be in the middle path. You shouldn't be to the extreme of any one end. Don't be so fanatic, don't be so hyper, don't be so on that end. Sometimes a person, you see the way a person behaves in the street. I'm not saying anyone here, but sometimes it happens in a very loud, ansanua, calling attention to themselves fashion. The opposite of meek. This is totally hypothetical. So I'm certainly not talking about anyone specific. But sometimes it happens, screaming in the streets, dancing, running, shrieking, hugging other people, throwing garbage on the floor. It's an extreme. It's not nice. On the other hand, the person shouldn't walk around tzikrachin, tzahargin, or tzibrachin in the street either. My son just said it to me 2 days ago because he said his friend told him, your face is public property. So I said to him, it's Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter once saw a man in Elul, his face was all tzikrachin, tzahargin, tzibrachin. So Rav Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Muslim movement, said to him, why do you look like that? So the man said, it's Elul, I'm doing teshuva. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, because you're doing teshuva, do I have to suffer? Your face is public property. Between you and God, that's your business. For me, you should have a smile. So when it comes to all midos, you should be in the middle path. They shouldn't be shrieking in the streets and hugging and dancing and yelling that they hear you 5 blocks away. It's not tzinua. You also shouldn't walk around like a depressed, broken, silent person, like a mute. That's not how you should be in the street. You should be derech ha'emtzais. That is mishubachas. However, b'midas hagaiva eino kein. But when it comes to the mida of haughtiness, remember this is the Bartonura's commentary to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that we're looking at, the teaching brought by Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna. So we know he's from Yavna because the Mishnah identifies him as being from Yavna. What else? We don't know very much about him at all. But when it comes to gaiva, this isn't the case. Ela yite lekotza ha'acharon shel shiflas haruach. Excuse me. When it comes to gaiva, which we define as haughtiness. Egotistical, you should turn yourself all the way to the side of being very low spirit. Lafisha hagaiva hi meusa bioser. Because it is a disgusting, it is a particularly reprehensible, awful mida. It's meus. It's so unappealing, unattractive, disgusting. Va'od sherov b'nei adam nichshalim ba. Furthermore, the reason you should not be in the Shvil HaZahav, the golden median for Gaiva, besides the fact that it is a horrible, detestable Midah, furthermore, many people stumble and trip in this Midah. Rov B'nei Adam, the majority of men stumble and trip in this Midah. V'lo B'dilei Ein Shamina. It means people do not separate themselves from it. So maybe we work on making a brachos with kavana, hopefully, and maybe we work on, being makpid on a certain hechsher, and maybe we work on giving meisher if we're not giving meisher, maybe we work on, improving our kavana b'tefila, and maybe we work on attending another shir, maybe we work on improving our dress, whatever it is. But the reality is that many people, the majority of people, stumble in this area, and people are not prone to separating from it. L'kach tzarich la That's why the Bartonura says you need an extra harchaka. You need a gather. You need to stay away, and then you need to stay far away, which is why the Mishnah he's explaining says, me'od, me'od. It's not enough to tell me you should be me'od humble. We already said Rav Lau brings down a sense for Moshe, Avram, and King David. Furthermore, we said me'od is the letters of Adam. You should remember where Adam went. He came from the dirt, Bracious to Perak Beis Pasuk Zion. He's going back to the dirt and the aftermath of the sin. Okay, so what am I going to be so haughty about it. I'm going to go the same way that all other human beings go. But the Bartanura says, because it is so mi'us, and because the majority of men stumble in this, and because people don't separate it, they don't work on it as much as they work on their other midos, therefore, you need to an extra harchaka, me'od, and then me'od. You need an extra encouragement to stay far, far away. What does Rashi say on the Mishnah? Haskein atzmichal yoshefal ruach. You should prepare yourself to be a very low, humble spirit. Ki tikvos enos rima v'soleya. Because Rashi says, what is the hope? The hope of man. Tikva is hope. The hope of a human being's body is to go to the place of worms and maggots. Lefichach malacha eitzel gaiva. So when you really think about that, it's hard to think about it, but when you really think about that, what exactly are you about gaiva, about Rashi saying? Jewelry? What's it going to help you when you're down there, 6 feet under? A nice house? What's going to help you? God doesn't care about the nice house and he doesn't care about the jewelry. Fancy clothing? What does he care about? From what do we have a gaiva? Because I drive a fancy car, because I have 3 apartments around the world. It's nice, you could enjoy your things, but you could be humble about it. Why? Lefichach malach ha'itzel ha'gaiva, says Rashi, we're all going the same place. So what shayichus do you have to being a bal gaiva? Now we go to the Rambam. The Rambam is a lengthy and fascinating and very, very powerful piece. And it's the Rambam's commentary to the Mishnah that is going to connect this, even though I don't think we need the Rambam to connect it to the Parsha, because it's clear that Moshe was anav ma'od mikol adam asheral p'nei ha'adama. We don't need the Rambam to tell us that this connects to the Mishnah, but it is the Rambam who is going to connect it to the Mishnah. You'll see in his commentary to the Mishnah, he's going to quote from our parsha, "V'ha'aloscha perik yuk beis pasuk gimel." So let's look at the Rambam. So the Rambam says, look, it's a little bit lengthy, you see. I prepared it, I went through it, I really want to get through it with you. And I have other sources after this. Okay, here we go. It's much lengthier. I ran through the commentary of the Rambam on the Mishnah. It was all fascinating. I took out excerpts because it's long enough here as it is. But these are the parts that I felt very relevant for us to study and take a musar from together. I am going to now mention, says the Rambam, some of what, a little bit of what the Chachamim Zichron of Vracha told us about how praiseworthy anivus is, the gnus hagaiva, and how disparaging it is to be a haughty person. So he first says, I'm going to tell you how praiseworthy it is, how mishubach it is to be an anav, and how abhorrent it is to be a bal gaiva. And therefore, in this Mishnah, Rabbi Levitas commands us to be very close to being of low spirit, to be karov, to be shafel. You should try and attach yourself to the midah of shiflus. The omer, ma'od ma'od heve shafel ruach. We should be very, very exceedingly humble. This is a very interesting comment. He says, one second, please. Have a good night, Avram. So what the Rambam says is, it's not enough to be an anav. So maybe you were thinking to yourself, why does the Mishnah use the term shfal ruach, of low spirit? But the Rambam says it's not even enough to be an anav by itself, because if you're just an anav, you might still have some attachment to gaiva. You need to even move away from anivus and go into the lower category, which is shafal ruach. Now, and I have to be very clear, and I hope you all understand this. It really could be part two, but I never know what's coming next week. So sometimes I say it's going to be continued next week, and it doesn't happen. So I'm not going to say it. But it doesn't mean you should negate, okay? Disclaimer, public service announcement. This whole class, Shira tonight, exploring these sources, does not mean you should negate your kohos, right? It doesn't mean you should click off the Zoom when we're finished with Shira and say, so now I'm a shmata, and I'm a shafal ruach, and I'm nothing. It means you've got to recognize your talents, abilities, and capabilities. One of my favorite lines from Rabbi Zev Lef, utilize them to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it does not mean you should say, I can't contribute, I'm not a good person, I can't do anything. That is not shafal ruach. Recognizing that God gave you individual capabilities. You have talents, abilities, and capabilities that nobody else has. And you recognize they're from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you channel them to serve God. That is a healthy sense of self-esteem and self-confidence. But it does not make you a bal gaiva of anyone else. Just like Hashem gave me talents, abilities, and capabilities, he gave the next person talents, abilities, and capabilities also. So it does not mean to leave here and think you're the doormat. Okay? I think that that's obvious, but you never know. So I'm stating it clearly. Okay, so the Rambam says that it says me'or me'or hevesh fal ruach because there's a fear that the man might remain by the category of anivus, kol shekein shehu etzlo ma'at min ha'gaiva. How much more so if he even has a little bit of gaiva left? Because it might be that you are very close to anivus, but you might even have some gaiva left. And once you become close to that, the anivus is found in the middle path, like we have mentioned, right? Like emtsa'i, mimutsa'a, the middle, but you need to be careful. Don't be in the middle path. Be on the extreme opposite end, because if you're in the middle of the path when it comes to these feelings, you have a risk of even having a little bit of gaiva left. Mi Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. And you see here I bolded the pasuk from our parsha, which is where we began. And you can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. Asher nishlomo bo ma'alos hasichlios. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the most perfect person. It was shalem. He was complete. He was pure. And all of the attributes of his seichel. I'm not doing such a good poetic job of translating this. You could learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that he was shalem. He was complete. He was perfect. He was pure. And all the wonderful attributes of his seichel, of his mind, he was also perfectly pure with the ma'alos hamidos kulan. He had no deficits in his midos, the milos, the attributes, the high levels of his midos were wonderful. Mikavanas the madregas hanavua av betorah. Why was he perfect in seichel and perfect in midos? Why? Because he was the av avi hanavim. He was the father of all nevi'im. Why did he bring us the Torah? He was av b'chachma. He was the father of all wisdom. He was av b'nevua. He was the father of prophecy. V'shibcho Hashem Yisparach al kol adam b'midas hanava. And nevertheless, even though he was shalem when it came to his intelligence, even though he was shalem and perfect and pure when it came to his wonderful midos, and even though he was the avi avos hanavim, and he was the most perfect in nevuah, and he was the father of all wisdom, nevertheless, what does Hashem tell us about him? The Shivcha Hashem Yisparach call Adam b'midas hanava. The Torah narrates and says, you should know the greatest praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Excuse me. He was praiseworthy, I'll call Adam more than any other person when it came to this midah of humility. Va'amar, like the pasuk says in Parashas Baaloscha, Va'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol Adam. The man Moshe was exceedingly humble, more than any other man. Va'amru me'od, just like our Mishnah says me'od. Remember, Rabbi Levitas, the Mishnah says me'od me'od heveh shefel ruach, and I already pointed out to you. And by Moshe Rabbeinu it says Aish Moshe anav me'od. Va'amru me'od mofeis the rov an the Sanuso. It is a testimony. It is telling you about his unbelievably great humility. That's what makes a point of saying he was me'od. The pasuk could just say Va'ish Moshe anav mikol adam asher apnei adama. No, he understood what Rabbi Levitas was going to come teach us in the aftermath of Chorban Bayis Sheni, which is you have to be me'od me'od. And you see with Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem didn't say he was on the middle path when it came to this midah. He was all the way to the extreme of being exceptionally humble. And so you will find Omer v'nachnuma. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they said in Perek Tazayin of Shemosh, when the people were complaining, first they complained for water, then they complained for food. Moshe and Aaron say, nachnuma, we're nothing. So they said we're even less than an existence. Nothing means we totally self-negate. V'chein b'David. Oh, remember I told you, Vailal brings down, Me'od stands for Moshe Avram David. V'chein b'David, the Rambam says, another person who could have been a Baal Gaiva was David Melech Yisrael, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. Who is David Melech? He's the father of Mashiach Zidkenu, Yavov V'yigalenu, V'na'im Zemiros Yisrael. Franz Licklick, are you on the shir tonight? Sometimes she's here. Not tonight? Oh yeah, Licklick, yeah? My son just had a orthodontist appointment this evening, and Dr. Siklik sent me home. I asked him to save for me every year his packet on who is the author of Tehillim. So I didn't have time. It just came to me this evening to look at it. But I'm looking forward. But what does the Rambam say about David HaMelech? He could also be a gaiva. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. He is the father of Melech HaMashiach. Na'im Zmiros Yisrael. He's the composer of the pleasant and beautiful songs of Israel. Sefer Tehillim. V'hu Melech Nichbar. He's a king, the first king, Shegdola Machuzko. He had a great kingdom. V'chaz Kacharbo. And his sword was strengthened. He's an unbelievable person. V'she'idu Hashem Yisparach Lanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu Avasham. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself gives a haskama for David Melech Yisrael, because Moshe gives Rabbeinu saw the beginning of Torah, the end of Torah, ad achrus hayamim. Don't read it ad hayam ha'acharon, hayam ha'acharon. But yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was a testament for us that David Melech was a very great person. Furthermore, says the Rambam, v'hu ha'kochav asher darach mi'Yakov. I'm not sure if you're familiar, that's from Bilam's prophecy. Okay, when Bilam speaks about Melech HaMashiach, he says, darach kochav mi'Yakov. That's why Bar Kochva is called Bar Kochva, by the way. Bar Kochva. Kochva is from the word kochav. It's from Bilam's prophecy. He describes Melech HaMashiach as a star will shoot forth from Yaakov. Bar Kochva is the son of a star. Okay, side point. So David HaMelech was the star that shot forth from Yaakov. Kamosha Baru Raza, like the rabbis Yochanan Merecha explained. Vuhu Navi, v'gadol shebeshivim zkenim. Kamosha Amar, Yosef b'shavas techak muni. He was the wisest of all the 70 zkenim who sat on the Lishkas HaGazis. Even though there was no Lishkas HaGazis. Yeah, but they did build the base of Lishkas, but he was the smartest. He was the wisest. His sword was strong. His kingdom was strong. He was the pleasing composer of the Tehillim of Klal Yisrael. He was the Mashiach himself, or his son would be the Mashiach, great-great-grandson. V'im kolze amar. And nevertheless, David HaMelech said, Lev nishbra v'nidke Elokim lo tivuz. I said this today in my Tehillim. Kapitel Nun Aleph is one of the kapitach I say every day. And yet, David HaMelech was able to say, Hashem, my broken and contrite heart, you will never reject. How could he say it, a broken and contrite heart? A king should be so full of himself. I'm the leader of the world. I bought the field from Arnon HaYavusi. I composed Sefer Tehillim. I have a strong sword, a strong kingdom, and my great-great-grandson will be Melech HaMashiach. I'm going to tell God I have a broken and contrite heart. But he did. And many of these kinds of milos, these attributes, teach us about the purpose of having a nivus. Now look at this. The Gemara says in Masechta Sota about Gaiva. Call Adam sheyesh bo gasus haruach, kilu oved avodas kochavim. Anyone who has this midah of a haughty spirit, it's as if he is an idol worshipper. Because the Pasuk says in Mishle, there's abomination of God, anyone who is of haughty heart. And the other Pasuk says, Velo Savito Eve al Besecha, should not bring an abomination to your heart. So the Gemara says, oh, you know what it means? A person who has gaiva is called a to'eva, and Avodah Zarah is called a to'eva. So we could make a connection. If a Baal Gaiva is Toeva and a Avodah Zarah is Toeva, that means that a person who is a Baal Gaiva is like he worships Avodah Zarah. The Amru, not only that, someone who's a Baal Gaiva, I'm still in the Rambam, this whole piece is Rambam, Kiilu Kofar Be'ikar. It's like he's a Kofar Be'ikar. He denies the very presence and omnipotency and the Kol Yachal of God. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Devarim Peraches, V'ram Luvavecha V'shachach, Das Hashem Elokecha. The Pasuk says, Beverish, when your heart becomes haughty, you will forget Hashem your God. Someone who forgets God is a kofar baker. So what is Ram telling us here in this last paragraph that we're studying? Someone who is gasus haruach is equal to an idol worshipper. Someone who is gasus haruach is equal to someone who denies that God exists, chas v'sham. V'armu shechet ha'gaiva k'mi sheba al ha'arayos. And someone who is gaiva is like someone who does gilu arayos, which literally means uncovering the nakedness, which is one of the three cardinal sins that a Jew is not allowed to transgress. The yehareg va'al yavor, let him give up his life rather than transgress gilu arayos. Amar toeva soshem kol gavalev, because it says, we already quoted this pasuk, an abomination of God, anyone who is haughty of spirit. Va'amar ki es kol ha'toeva sa'al. And the pasuk also tells you in Achrimos, but the end of Parshas Achrimos, the Torah tells you that these are abomination of God, arayos. So if it says a haughty person is a toeva, and if it says that Gilui Arayos is a toeva, so Chazal tell you, know what that means? Someone who is a Baal Gaiva is as if they are doing Gilui Arayos. But Amru, Shahamisga hu ba'atzmo eitzal, Hashem Yisbarach avodas kochavim atzma. Mamish, listen to that. Hamisga, someone who is haughty, he himself is viewed by God as if he is literally an avoid kochavim, ka'ovadas kochavim atzma. They view raya me'amro, and they bring you a proof from the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Chadu l'cham mina adam asher nishma ba'apo. Cease from men whose soul is in his nose. Klomer givah ruach. Who's someone who has their soul in their nose? You know, it's interesting that the pasuk says that. The Chazal bring us this based on a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Why? Because today you talk to someone who has their nose in the air. So that's mamash what the pasuk is saying. Chadu dechamina adam asher nishma ba'apo. Cease from man whose soul is in his nose. Someone who thinks his soul is not humble in his soul. He's on the top of the world. He's looking up. He looks down on everybody else. You could only look down on everyone else if you're looking above everyone else. Klomer gevar ruach. Someone who's a haughty spirit. Ki b'ma nechshavu. Al tekri b'ma. Oh, al tekri v'ma. Rida b'ma. Bama is a altar, a mizbeach, that is forbidden. Once we had the permanent structure of the temple, it was forbidden to offer offerings on bamas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even though many have been discovered by archaeologists in different places in the land of Israel. If you go on some tours, education, museums, but hey, so today we speak a lot of Lashon Hara. The Torah says don't talk Lashon Hara, so we still do it. So we don't always follow what the Torah says, but a bama is forbidden. Now the Torah says here that someone who is a Baal Gaiva, it's as if he brings karbanos on bamos. Bamos are asur. It's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. You have to come to the central location of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see how strongly the sages condemn the sin of Gaiva. I mean, they say it's like someone who's Oved Avodah Kochavim, someone who is a Kofer Be'ikar, someone who is over the sin of Gilui Arayos, and someone who worships foreign God by offering karbanos on bamos. I would venture to say that none of us ever think, hopefully, not at least not knowingly, that we did not worship Avodah Zarah. Chas v'shalom. And I venture to say that none of us willingly would say that we were over on Gilui Arayos, maybe one time by accident we didn't know. Okay? I don't know if it involves watching things that we shouldn't watch, reading things we shouldn't watch. Maybe one time we acted inappropriately, but not knowingly we transgressed. And certainly none of us are a kofar be'ikar. Otherwise, why would I be learning? I have a munu and Hashem. And yet, if a person has feelings of gaiva, you see that the sages speak in very strong terms about this very negative midah. Va'amru, I'm still going on with the Rambam. Shahamisga'e ro'i lahargo. Someone who is gaiva, ro'i lahargo. Va'amru, it's difficult. That means it's worthy to kill him. Va'amru, kol mi sheyesh bo gasa saruch, ro'i ligado ka'ashera. Anyone who has gasas aruch, it's worthy to cut him down like an asherah tree. An asherah tree is a tree of avodah zarah, and it has to be cut down. And it's worthy to cut him down like an asherah tree. The Rambam brings you proof as why. And finally, look at this. Va'amru, she'Hashem yisparach lo yichya hamiska'im b'tchiyas hamisim. You want to know who's going to come back at the resurrection of the dead? Not the Baal Gaivas. When it comes to the time of the resurrection of the dead, revivification of the dead, those who are Baal Gaiva will not have their life back. Chazal say that anyone who has Gasas Aruach, his soul will not be aroused, his soul will not be awakened again. On the end of days, in the time of the resurrection of the dead, Shanema, like the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Hakitzu v'raninu shochne afar. Wake up and rejoice those who lay in the dust. That's what the pasuk says from Yeshayahu. Hakitzu, wake up, v'raninu, sing, rejoice, shochne afar, those who lay in the dust. Misha nasa afar b'chayav, rotza lomar ha'anavim, hey Mashar Yechu. So the Gemara says, oh, you know what that means? He who was like dust in his life, meaning a humble person, he is the one who will come back to life at the end of days. So, I did want to do some other sources. We began in the Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, Vish Moshe Anav Mod, Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama. We then went to the Mishnah of Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavne, Ma'od, Ma'od Heshve Shofal Rech, Shetikvas Enosh Rima. We spoke about the word Ma'od. We quoted the Bartanur, we quoted Rashi, and a lengthy piece by the Rambam. And it's the Rambam who says it is a praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he had all the Milus Hasichlios, he had all the Milus Hamidos, he had Madregas HaNavua, he was Av B'Torah, Av B'Chachma, Av B'Navua. And yet the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu, with all these midos, Vayish Moshe, Anav Me'od, Mikol Al Moshe, Al Pnei Adama. He compares it to David HaMelech, who had so much going for him. He had all wonderful midos. He remained totally humble. And finally, the Rambam tells us, one who is a gashus aruch is like an oved avodah kochavim, a kofer be'ikar, a megala arayus. It is worthy to kill him. It is worthy to cut him down like an asherah tree. And the final blow is that he will not be brought back with the resurrection of the dead at the time of Trias HaMesim, because anyone who has Gassus HaRuach, his soul will not be aroused to wake up again. Because the Pasuk says in Yishayah, wake up and rejoice, those who lay in the dust. What does that mean? Those who are like dust in their lifetime, meaning anavim, humble people, it is they who will live for the time of Trias HaMesim. Very, very powerful. I now quote from the biography of, I'm just opening this up here, Rishra Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Well, let me see what page I want to be on. Here we go. Rav Belsky's genius in learning and in Psak Halacha was surpassed by his greatness in Midos, recalls Rabbi Yehuda Kravitz, who headed the OU kosher meat industry supervision for 10 years as the Rav HaMachshir. Rav Belsky, amongst other things, a tremendous gadol and gaon of Rosh Hashiva, was also the senior posek for the OU for many years. Quote, He was the Anav Mikol Adam. I'm not making this up. That's literally what the excerpt that I've chosen to share with you see. So I hope you see why I chose to share this excerpt. If you're interested, I'm in the Rav Belsky Art School biography on page 49. Quote, he was the most Anav Mikol Adam, which is the Pasuk we saw about Moshe Rabbeinu, which led us into the Mishnah. I saw evidence of this in many instances. I saw how visiting Rabbanim would insult him. He would not react. Moshe Rabbeinu was insulted by his sister and his brother. He did not react. He never said a bad word about them, the people who insulted him, neither in their presence nor after they left. His only interest was in clarifying the halacha la'amito, the truth of Jewish law. When other distinguished poskim disagreed with his psak, he was ready and eager to discuss the issues with them. He was prepared to retract his psak if he felt he was proven wrong. That's total anivus. He wasn't interested in, I have to be right. He was interested in the emes la'amito of Torah. It was not my psak. It was what he deemed the Torah's viewpoint. If he was shown he was incorrect, then so be it. Whether his psak was popular or not meant nothing to him. Whether he received honor or received insults was irrelevant. He was interested solely in the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. I never saw him display a trace of anger, says Rabbi Yehuda Kravitz. There were instances when he had every reason to become angry. You could say Moshe had the right to become angry. His sister and his brother were talking Lashon Hara about it. Maybe he should be angry. Once a visiting Rav was being disrespectful and becoming angrier and angrier by the minute. When it became clear that it was impossible to carry on a rational discussion with this man, instead of speaking back, Rav Belsky simply got up and left the room. All other times he didn't react to insults, but this time he felt it was getting sort of hand. He stood up and walked out. When he was insulted, it was if they were speaking about somebody else. And it's interesting that this piece begins with, he was the Anav Mikol Adam, because when Moshe Rabbeinu was insulted, it was as if they were talking about somebody else. He davens to God for her. The Torah comments that he's the most humble. Doesn't have any reaction. It's as if they're speaking about somebody else. I personally witnessed, not I, Michal Horetz, how Rav Belsky accorded honor and spoke pleasantly to Rabbanim, even those who spoke to him with disrespect. When he met them, it was as if nothing negative had happened at all. His brother-in-law, Rav Yosef Zimbal, commented, many geniuses did not merit to become great Marbitzei Torah. Rav Belsky merited to become one of the greatest of his generation, not because of his genius, but in spite of it. For his brilliance did not cause him to become haughty in any way. To the contrary, his humility was obvious to anyone who had the privilege to be in his company. A Talmud of Rav Belsky related, I knew someone who was in financial trouble. I set him up in a business. I put him on his feet. Instead of being grateful, he said something so nasty, he made me cry. I came to Rav Belsky and I told him what happened. He was in financial distress, this man, and I helped him. I put it on his feet and then he's insulting me. Rav Belsky replied, it's time for you to learn Musar. I did not understand. The Talmud said, Rabbi, I should learn Musar? He should learn Musar. No, said Rav Belsky, you have to become an exalted individual. You have to learn to be above these sorts of things. And for the next 2 years, we learn Musar together regularly. One day, Rubelsky was in the classroom learning when a man entered and related. He worked for a Talmud of Rubelsky. Occasionally, he would speak disparagingly of Rubelsky, and he even told Rubelsky the negative comments he made. His boss warned him he would be fired if he continued such conduct, because remember, he worked for this man who would insult Rubelsky, worked for a Talmud of the Rosh Yeshiva. The practice continued, so the boss fired him. The man came to ask Rubelsky if he could intercede with the boss on his behalf. Rubelsky called the Talmud in the man's presence, and he said, "You fired this man for the sake of my honor. If you're really concerned for my honor, then give this yid back his parnasa." One very short vignette from Rav Aaron Leib Schneiman. Another tremendous gadol and gaon. Very short. The director of a new organization was telling Rav Aaron Leib that a representative of another, more established group had contacted him, complaining the newer organization's name sounded too much like that of the old organization. It's true, he admitted, they've been around longer, the names sound somewhat similar, but still. So he was upset that they shouldn't have similar names. So Rav Aaron Leib innocently inquired, "So why don't you just change the name of your organization?" "With all due respect," said the man, "if someone came to the Rosh Yeshiva and told him his last name Steinman bothers him, he wants Rosh Yeshiva to change his last name to Buzaglo, B-U-Z-A-G-L-O, Buzaglo, would the Rosh Yeshiva change his name?" Rav Aaron Leib looked the director in the eye and he said, "Believe me, I would do anything to avoid machlokas. If my name really bothered someone else, if I could help another Jew by changing my name to Buzaglo, I would gladly do it." Why? Because he had no honor for himself. Because he wanted no kavod. Because it was such a shafal ruach that you could call me whatever you want to call me. My purpose is to serve God with my own talents, abilities, and capabilities. What was Moshe's reaction to the Lashon Hara that was being spoken about him? Not nothing. Not only did he not do nothing, he went out of his way to help his sister. He should say, "I'm not talking to you. I'm done with you. You insulted me. You insulted me. I should be nice to you. I should daven for you. It's your problem. You have tzaras. It's not my concern. Am netzihi kameis. It's not my problem. You're kameis. I'm not helping you." Not only was he passive, he was active in his humility to help her. What does Rabbi Levitas Ishiavna say? And I think, by the way, it's such a powerful lesson. There's only one teaching from Rabbi Levitas Ishiavna. He doesn't want fame. He doesn't want power. He doesn't want a name. It's amazing. It's mamish, an irony of Torah. That's a gevaldic lesson. He's not mentioned. Why isn't he mentioned? Because he's the man of ma'od ma'od hevei shafal ruach. Shatikvas enosh rimach. He went through the Bartanura, Rashi, lengthy Rambam, quote of Yisrael Me'alal, and then some vignettes and examples from Gedolim in our age and in our time, and we see how serious is the Aveira Chas V'Sham of Gassus Aruach. It's Ke'ilu Kofer Be'ikor Oved Avodazar, and Rechman Alutzan, that person is not being resurrected at the time of Techias HaMesim, and we must, the Chazal have a very deep words and very profound lessons. It's something that every person needs to work on. When we feel that sense of Gaiva, remember Me'od is letters of Adam. He came from dust, and he went to dust, and no one has a long-term lease on life. I thank very much our dear friend, our Shir founder, organizer, and coordinator, Miriam Goodman. And we hope that these Divrei Torah and Divrei His Orus and Divrei Chizuk will have an Aliyah Neshama from Mato Bas Yoshua, Allah HaShalom. And I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos and Bezal Hashem. I went a little over tonight. Chatasi. I'm sorry. And I didn't even do everything I wanted to do. Okay, I wish everybody a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbos, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.